That's what we have, just endless things to be thankful for. Amen. Endless, endless things. Turn to Philippians. I'm going to cover two. I'm kind of breaking this down into two parts. So if you want to go ahead and hold your other spot, we're going to start with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And then towards the end, we're going to turn to John 14, 27. So the joy of being a Christian, we're going to break this down a little bit. You know, we're going to talk about joy being a Christian, leading from last week, we was talking about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving leads to joy and peace. And so we're going to talk about peace a little bit, joy and peace. So we got to, our joy revolves around, we're going to break down into a couple little things. Assurance of salvation. We got that assurance. Forgiveness. A close relationship with God. You can get as close to God as you want to. He is there. It's you. That's your choice on how close you want to get to God. He's there for you. And we'll discuss that. And then the fellowship with other believers. You know, that's what we're doing now. Other believers, we bounce things off each other. Just like Charlie shares something, I share a story, and that's the way it works. That's the way it's designed, the way God has it. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, amen. You ready? The peace of God would transcend all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Y'all see the common thing here, what we got to do? We got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And then, like Charlie was talking about, we don't see the big picture. We don't see it all the way down the road. God does. Oh, yes, he does. And he'll get you down that road with that relationship you have with him. Amen. It transcends all. We might not understand it. We might not never understand it here on earth. Or why whatever happened in your life. But God, he put him in control. So, you know, it started out, don't be anxious about anything. You know, I did a sermon a while back on worry. You know, there's a difference between worry and concern. You know, we need to be concerned about stuff. Let me just read this to you, then I shut up and get to the sermon. 40% of things people worry about never happen. 30% of our worries are related to past, can't read my writing, to past matters which are not now beyond our control. We worry about stuff we can't even control that happened yesterday. Yesterday is gone. There's nothing you can do about it. So what do you think? Don't worry about it. 12% of our worries have to do with our health, even when we're not actually ill. 10% of our worries are about friends and neighbors and are not based on evidence or fact. Don't worry about your neighbor outside of checking on them. Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry about what they're talking about. Don't worry about if they're talking about you. Don't worry about it. So only 8% of worries have some basis of reality, which means that over 90% of things we worry about never happen. We worry about stuff that never happened 90% of the time. That we or don't happen or don't have no control over. Once we learn to give it all to God, then you can eliminate a big part of your worries and don't worry about it. So back to Philippians. So we're going to break it down. Salvation and forgiveness. The joy of knowing one's sins are forgiven and being reconciled to God is considered a great source of relief and gladness. I need y'all to understand, everybody, if Jesus didn't die on that cross for you and I, we were destined for death. A eternal death. So right off the bat, just that alone, we should be jumping with joy all the time. Because he didn't have to do it. He did it because he wanted to, because out of love for us. And that's what he did for us, our salvation and our forgiveness. Because we couldn't do it, and we can't do it without him. We also, our source of joy should be because we can communicate with God. You know, a lot of people think of God as this unseen being that's sitting on a throne, and we had no communication with him. If we don't have any communication with him, guess who that's on? That's on you. Because he bridged that gap with his son that we can have continuous communication and a relationship with him. Through prayer, through Bible study, through testimonies, through... Amen. That's why it's important for us to be together as believers. What happens to Charlie might be something that I might endure down the line, and that he shared that can help me get through something, or vice versa. We can all help each other. Amen. The communion with God is the ability to have a friendship and companionship with God made possible through faith. Is a fundamental joy. Notice what it said. We can have a friendship with him. Not just he's a higher power, which that he is, but we can get on his level of a friendship. And by the way, and we'll get to it in a minute, you know we're adopted into the family, right? As Christians. We're brothers. That's the reason they call us brothers and sisters in Christ. We're adopted into the family. And we got fellowship with other believers, sharing a common spirit and a brethren and a community of faith and a source of joy. We need to be there for each other. Because it ain't when something happens, or if something happens, it's when it happens. But we're going to need to lean on somebody that can guide us or direct us, get us through that situation, whatever that may be. And now we're just talking about the sources of the Christian joy. So we know salvation, forgiveness, the communication with God, fellowship with others. Now worship and service. You know, and I'm big on, you got to do something. I'm not going to beat that horse today. Because we're talking about, you know, we got to do our part. We got to do something with him. You know, we got to worship. We got to serve him. We got to do things. Experiencing joy in worship, lifting voices in song. Prayer, serving Christ, or key aspects. And you know, we talked about that. We know we're all called to do something, whatever that may be. And so do it for God. Let him bless it. And then here's a hard part. This is what we need to separate ourselves from to have this Christian joy that we're talking about. We got to focus on spiritual, not worldly things. What's the scripture? I can't quote it right now. It's a, we got to be in the world, but not a part of it. Right? We should stand alone as Christians. We should stand out. They should know how many times I say, don't tell me you're a Christian. Your actions should tell me you are. What you do, how you carry yourself, how you live your life, the things you do, the things you don't do. You know, it ain't about all the things you've done. I ain't pointing fingers and stuff, you know, because we all slip, mess up and stuff. But we got that relationship with God because of Jesus Christ that we can get that mess out of here. But generally speaking, most of the time, how are you carrying or living your life? What you're doing? People are watching. People watch what you do. People watch what you don't do. It ain't just what you do, it's what you also don't do. You know, and I'm big on saying, you ain't going to be here every time the door's open. You don't. It won't hurt you. But how often are you serving God? How many days a week are you serving God? And it don't just, and I'm, I wasn't going here, but I guess I will. It's out there. It's not in here. God wants you to serve him, we're doing a service right now, a little bit of service, but we got to take what we get today and we got to share it with the world. We got to get it out of here, right? Obviously, we got some space available. So we need to take it out there. You know, I think we get hung up. I did too. We get hung up on, hey, come to church. Come to church. Come to church. Come to church. Guess what? We're the church. Why ain't the church going to them? Why ain't we going to their environment? You got a better chance of reaching somebody out there than you do waiting on them to come here. Because you might be waiting for a long time. Not saying that we don't need to invite people to church. I'm not saying that. We do. But we need to just think about it. If you're not used to coming to church and stuff, if you get invited to go somewhere that you're not comfortable with, how often do you go? So what's the difference with them? If you're not comfortable coming in this setting, odds are you're probably not going to come. So we need to go out there and talk to them out there. What did the early church do? The first century church. They traveled all around, reaching people. That was free. So we need to focus on spiritual, not worldly things. Now, I'm not saying everything in the world is not bad. And so what's bad for me might not be bad for you. And I ain't talking about, you know, we got the obvious stuff, you know, we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't kill nobody and stuff like that. But I'm just talking about what's separate, you know what sin is? Anything that separates you from God. And that anything might not separate me from God, but it might separate you from God. So that's what we're talking about, worldly things. How many times have you heard, I don't want to be a Christian because they had no fun. They can't do nothing. We can have fun. You can go hang out with people. You can go do things. But you just ain't. Anyway. So what's the character? What's it look like? What's the characteristics of a Christian joy? That's where it comes from, what we just talked about. But what's it look like? It's a state of mind and heart. Mainly your heart. It comes from out in here. It settles. My eyes are not cooperating with me. It is a settled state of contentment and hope, not a superficial emotion. Are you content? Ask yourself that question. A lot of y'all probably not. A lot of people, not just y'all, a lot of people not content. We got to get in that state of mind with God, that relationship where we're content most of the time. Now, you know, things happen. I'm talking about generally speaking. To keep that joy, you got to be content. Amen. To have that peace of mind, you got to be content. And I ain't talking about just material things. I'm just talking about just whatever you can put in that category. We're not going to break it down that much. But are you content? Are you satisfied where God has you right now? And are you doing what God has you doing right now? If you don't want to be where you're at right now, He has you there, do something about it. Show Him that you're willing to listen to Him and do what He wants you to do, and He'll move you to something else. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. He will. He'll bump you up a little bit. But if you're not going to take care of where you're at right now, He's not going to move you nowhere because you're not taking care of your business to begin with. Get that contentment. And true joy is independent of your circumstances. You, Christ, let Christ dictate your joy, not your circumstances. You can be in the worst mood, the worst things going on in your life right now, but you can still have that peace of mind and that joy with Jesus Christ, or the opposite of it. You can be on, you know, what do you say? Sometimes you're on a mountain, sometimes you're in the valley. Wherever you're at, what's that peace you have? Do you have that peace? The joy of the Lord is described as a source of strength in life challenges. See how it works together? If you had that peace of mind, that contentment, that joy, that peace, it gets you through those struggles. helps lighten the blow a little bit. Because ultimately, if nothing else good in your life happens from this point forward, and you're a Christian, you got something awesome to look forward to. That eternal life with Him for eternity. So a characteristic of it also is a result of faith. It is both a gift from God and a response to His grace and work in one's life. Notice that word response. What's that mean? That means to respond. See, I didn't tell a joke today. I knew y'all would be a tough crowd. So, response, do something. So here's, I know what question y'all, I'm glad you're asking this question. So we talked about the source of Christian joy, and we talked about the characteristics of it. Now we're going to talk about how to experience it. Put it to work. Put it in action in your life. Do something with it. First of all, you got to believe in God's word. How you do that? Get in God's word. Right? How you going to know how to do God's, or listen to God's word, or be in His word, if you don't get in His word? Kind of works that way. Yeah. You gotta don't be part of that dust storm I talk about sometimes. You know, if people, everybody opened their Bibles at once, we had the biggest dust storm in the world. Not the dust off your Bible, if you hadn't already. Don't wait. Hey, look, from Sunday to Sunday, it'll collect a little dust. Wednesday, you can open it up again. Thursday, Monday. Should be daily, right, Joe? Daily? Amen. Daily walk with Christ? That means every day. I think there's 7 days of the week. Daily. My next favorite word, I like daily, and I like saturate. Saturate yourself with God's word. Shire yourself with it. If you want to get that close relationship with God and have this peace of mind and joy and peace I'm talking about, you're going to have to start right there. You're going to have to start with God's word. Strengthening your faith by understanding and believing what God has said in Scripture, rather than focusing on one's own feelings or on your own feelings. Believe it or not, it's hard to do. You got to take your human, fleshly emotions and self and separate it from what God is telling you in His Word. Don't let your emotions run your life. Let God's word run your life, be in control of it. So that's what you got to do. You got to get in His word. You also got to live a selfless life. It's a hard word for me to say. Take the I out of it and put Jesus in it. Better way to put that. Not what I want to do, not where I want to go, not what I think should be done, not what I. Remember, start your day every morning. You should start your day. Jesus, what do you have me to do today that you want me to do?
Ask for help.
Sir? Got to ask for help. Let Him do it. And we say a bunch of times, I said it already today, once at least, we can't do it. We can't do it. But we have an avenue that God provides us that we can do it, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we do that, a selfless life, following the example of Christ by serving others with humility rather than focusing on rivalry or one's own interest. I love the Bible story of the woman at the well. This is the best example, one of the best examples I think of, and stuff. I'm not going to break it down that much, but Jews went around Samaria because they hated those people so bad. They took the long way around to get somewhere. Jesus walked right through the middle. He's a Jew. Went right through the middle of Samaria to have that divine intervention with that woman at the well. that she took and ran with it. I'm paraphrasing, but it gets deeper than that. Read it one day, the woman at the well. Just Google it and it'll tell you where it's at. But what I'm saying is, he took the worldly interest of not going through Samaria to go through Samaria, because that was his father's will. And that's what we need. That's the kind of example we need to live by. We need to do what he wants us to do, not what you want to do all the time. Now look, he lets you do some stuff you want to do. He's not saying you can't never do something. Remember the order, pecking order? Christ first. Move on down. Trusting God during suffering. We need to refrain from afflictions from God's perspective, trusting in his victory and ability to bring you out of suffering. Jesus said you're going to have troubles in this world. So we know it's going to happen. But we've got to trust, we got to have that trust in him. We're going to shift gears real quick. So that's what we just talked about. Joy, God, joy. I lost my words there for a minute. So let's transition and I wrap up with this. Christ's peace. Joy and peace, they kind of go hand in hand, right? If you got joy, if you're content, you got peace of mind. You got peace. John 14:27. Jesus says, in your Bible it should be red letters. If you got red letter edition, this is what Jesus said. The guy we're trying to imitate. The guy that hung on the cross for us. That guy. Peace I leave with you. I probably don't need to read no more of it, but I will. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but that's pretty plain English right there. Pretty simple to follow, right? In theory. We got to actually do it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. He gives it to us. You know what a gift is? You don't expect nothing in return. It's a gift. Here you go. Here it is. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We got to get out of the fleshly mindset of happiness and things. Stuff. I call it stuff. Let's just say stuff. Stuff. And we got to live by God's word. And the day you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're living in eternity already. You started your eternity walk with God. And you know where you're going. So don't let stuff bog you down or separate you from God's love and peace. Don't let it happen. Christ's peace. Faithfully believing that he is the Son of God. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Faithfully believe he's the Son of God. If you don't, you need to reevaluate some stuff. And we got to have confidence of his peace. Not only we got to believe that he's the Son of God that died on the cross for us, not only we got to have that faith to believe it, we got to have the confidence in it. You can believe something, but not like, no. Texas Hold'em, all in. Put all your cards in, all your money. You got to have confidence that of his peace. Full trust that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those three things, are all actively working. All of them. All three of them. Unlike the worldly version, Christ's peace does not involve fear. Do not fear. Don't fear. That's what he tells us to do. And you also, look, if you read this stuff, he says, don't fear. Peace I leave with you. All this scripture stuff. It's not suggestions. It's a command. Don't fear. He says, don't fear. Do not fear. Have peace. I give it to you. You got it. How did we get there? Condition of his peace. Jesus' death. Pay attention to this. Death, burial, resurrection. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I call it the two sets of threes. That's the first set. Next set is he death, burial, and he busted that ground wide open and come up out of there for you and I. He conquered death. He conquered all that. He defeated it. He done it. You ain't done nothing. The only thing he wants you to do is accept it. Accept him. That's what he wants you to do. That's what you need to do. Without these events, death, burial, and resurrection, true peace would not be possible. But hallelujah, it's possible because he did it. He done it. Then you gotta live a life of trust in him. You gotta trust him. He does not mean that all life circumstances change for the better. Not everything's gonna be hunky dory. Is that a word? How you spell it? Hunky dory. Not everything's gonna be good all the time. But you got that trust and that peace and that faith in him. His followers will have peace as they endure trials and difficulties. Look, you're going to have trials and stuff, okay? You can either do it without him or you can do it with him. That's bottom line. You got a choice. We talk about that all the time. You have a choice. What decision are you going to make? You're going to have that peace of mind getting through this with him at your side, or you're just not going to worry about it? I just take care of it as it comes along. I'm telling you, you're headed down a dead-end road that's going to have eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. How long is eternity? It's forever. How long is forever? Long time. Longer than you can... Forever. It is what it is. I know y'all looking at the clock. I'm getting here. Here's a laundry list. This is what I'm going to close with. So, joy. You know, we got the peace thing covered. Joy of being a Christian. Joy of forgiveness. Joy in having a purpose. Christians know they were created on purpose for a purpose. You're not here by accident. I had a thought, sorry. You're not here by accident. God's purpose. He intentionally put you here, and now, but he called you for a purpose. If you're a Christian, you got to be a Christian. Joy in God's presence. Joy in the community. Joy in hope. Hope for what? You got a hope. Not a hope that I hope this happens. It already happened. You got eternal life. You got that hope that you know where you're going. That you know you got eternal life with God. And it's a divine gift. And joy, and here's the hard part. A joy in every circumstance. Unchanging foundation based on God's unchanging nature. Stuff's going to happen, but God's never going to change. He's going to be there for you through the thick and the thin. And I think that's a saying. But through the good and the bad and the ugly, he's going to be there no matter what. And we got to express this, right? We got this peace. We got this joy beyond understanding. Rejoice in it. Shout it out. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Believers are commanded to rejoice in all circumstances. What I'm saying, read this scripture with the mindset of this is what I got to do compared to, well, hopefully I can get there one day. You ain't going to do nothing. You're there if you let Christ work in your life. And then joy through faith and relationship. Salvation and adoption to the family. Read, I can leave you another homework assignment. Romans 8:16-18. Knowing that the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. A source of great joy. We're children of God because of him, because of what he'd done. It's free to accept. Where are you at today on your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Daryl's going to play a song of invitation. I feel like we go through the motions sometimes on this. The invitation, don't feel obligated that you got to do anything. You got a choice. You can do what you want to do. You can walk out of here and you go tell everybody that he did a good message or he didn't do good, whatever. My focus is, my job is to shepherd the flock. Do you have Christ? Do you need Christ? We all need him. If you don't have him, now's your time to do it. And I know a lot of people don't like getting in front of crowds. I understand that. I was that way for a long time. For a long time. Do it where you're at. Or hit me up after service. I don't care. I don't care how you do it. You find that relationship with God one way or the other. You get there. The altars are open. Whatever you need to do, everybody stand. We can close with prayer. Song of invitation is there for you. If you want this peace beyond understanding and this joy through every situation in your life here on earth, you need Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving your Son to die on the cross for us and giving us this opportunity to have this relationship with you that goes beyond understanding, beyond even all human thinking. Just get us out of the flesh, Lord, and let us focus on you and what you have us to do. And just the many thanks this Thanksgiving season that you've done, and thank you for the joy and the peace that is available for us. And just be with the ones that on the prayer list need your prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.